say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
There's hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
His brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that makes sure to read the hot sheets each and every week. This is Hysteria 51.
These are the hot sheets. Best investigative reporting on the planet.
Go ahead, read the New York Times if you want to. They get lucky sometimes. Thanks, Manny.
Then I believe you're looking for tips in the supermarket tabloids. Not looking for. Found.
Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, my name is John Goforth, and sitting across from me is the man who needs no introduction because, well, frankly, there's already an active APB out for him. His name is Mr. Brent Hand.
Define active. Anyway, yes, thank you, John. And love the reference to the hot sheets. That scene in Men in Black made so much sense. It was hilarious. It was a huge nod and amazing that they threw that in there.
Which begs the question, Brent, now that we're talking about fake stories from back in the day, quote unquote, what is your favorite fake story from the good old days of that not being a polarizing term?
Oh, man. I mean, there's so many of them. I think you could always go with the classic stories of Elvis, like living on the moon, eating jelly donuts. I seen them in there, you know, and things like that. Those are my favorite little, like, is it true? Did someone really do that or what? You know, that kind of stuff.
It's true. Those were always great. I think I even saw one, and I'm just revolving off of a 25 or 30 year old memory here, but where Tupac and JFK perhaps joined him on the moon. Anyway, I don't remember the details, but you mentioning the moon brings to mind another great one, a classic from those days, Bat Boy.
Oh, I've got a statue of him. Absolute classic.
I love how you idiots are talking all of this like it didn't really happen.
And that makes sense to me that he would be on board with all of this and just take it as face value.
He's serious about these being the hot sheets.
Stay dumb then. You'll see. Every word in WWN is the gospel.
You know what? I kind of wish it was sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, they are fun stories, but
we need more apes with PhDs stories and things like that. But that's just my opinion. I don't know.
Now, speaking of those fun stories, we're specifically talking about the Weekly World News. And the reason we're specifically talking Weekly World News is we have a guest tonight, Brent, and his name is Greg D'Alessandro.
Yeah, you're probably thinking, who is Greg D'Alessandro and why does he have anything to do with Weekly World News? Well, Greg probably has the coolest job on planet Earth. He's the CEO and editor-in-chief of none other than the WWN, if you nasty, aka the greatest tabloid in existence. And I love that word, tabloid. And it's back, or it's never really left, but it is back in print for the first time in a long time with their Best of Covers edition just came out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and I know a certain podcast that has an ad.
Oh man, I wonder who that is.
I don't know. Somebody with good taste.
Yeah, probably so. So here's what they had to say. The Weekly World News has begun its new era of investigative reporting as they continue to cover stories the mainstream media ignores. Stories about the latest sightings of alien abductions, Bigfoot sightings, conspiracy theories, biblical prophecies, alien invasions, the supernatural, the paranormal, and the cryptid phenomena infiltrating all corners of American life. In 2019, Weekly World News senior editor and its most prolific writer, Greg D'Alessandro, took the reins as the imprint CEO, editor-in-chief, along with his partner David Collins, serving as president. Together, they are bringing WWN's cast of characters to a new generation, taking WWN beyond print, beyond its presence online, and on social media. One of the quotes about it I loved, I was looking online just for what people said, and here's a quote from the Washington Post talking about the Weekly World News. This is a hell of a quote. funnier than Saturday Night Live, deeper than Leno or Letterman, smarter than Mad, more outrageous than The Onion, Weekly World News just might be America's best purveyor of social satire and the most creative newspaper in American history. The fact that it's disguised as a sleazy tabloid just makes it that much more delicious. Amen. I love that.
It's funny. Reading that quote, it made me wonder if it came from the Weekly World News. Calling it satire in the quote probably tells you that it's actually somebody else. I love that quote. The other thing I was thinking about, as you mentioned, how they're going to be expanding their imprint. So it's going to be WWN online and on social media and perhaps podcasts and movies. And we'll ask Greg about all of that. But WWN is such an awesome name for a network. I would love to see a 24-hour. It has to be 24 hours.
Oh, my God. This just in on our watch, there's no new developments in the Munchkin Land assassination case.
Exactly.
We're going to the man on the street, Manny Gator. Sorry, Manny Gator seems to be mauling another bystander, so we're going to have to come back once we get that underhand. You know, just like FUD like that.
Oh, God. And just all day, every day, just producing shenanigans. Just absolute shenanigans.
And the guy behind the desk is disheveled with a 5 o'clock shadow because he's just, the shit's so proof all the time.
Smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, he can just never get out of there. His tie's undone. Just like, oh.
He's got a glass of bourbon next to him. How great would that be? I don't know if you could keep it going for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 365 days a year, but I'd love to see you try.
That's right. Well, we're going to go to the break real quick. When we come back, we have Greg with us, and we're going to talk all things Batboy, the appeal of the weird, and what the future is for World Weekly News. That's coming up after the break on Hysteria 51. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation, too. So you can, learn how to speak.
And our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years. And there's over 25 different languages that you can learn. And people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient. And you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value. And you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long-term. And it's something that it works, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. Nation, we want pictures of your dogs. That's just a personal request from me, but while you look for a good one, let me tell you about something near and dear to mine Brent's hearts, your dog's health. You may have noticed lots of dogs suffering from health issues these days, joints, odors, it's not good. Actress Katherine Heigl noticed these issues too, and after a ton of research, there was one place she found we can look to support any dog's health, their food. So she created Superfood Complete, food for your four-legged friend that's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Her company, Badlands Ranch, also supports the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Now, I know Brent has used Superfood Complete with his lovable meatballs, and they absolutely love it. He said it's easy to prepare, both his guys grow crazy for it, and he loves knowing what he's giving them is healthy and full of ingredients that are actually beneficial to his little rapscallions. You can try it for yourself by going to badlandsranch.com/hysteria and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/hysteria today.
Nation, we are back, and as promised, we are joined by a very special guest, somebody that is part of an organization that has been near and dear to our hearts, and I also kind of think like near and dear to the ethos of this show a little bit for years and years and years, and that is Mr. Greg D'Alessandro, the CEO, a longtime contributor and editor as well to the not defunct, but the very much up and coming back Weekly World News. Greg, welcome to the show and thank you for coming.
Thank you, John. Brent, it's great to be here with you guys.
We are excited. I can't believe we got the purveyor of the proverbial hot sheets on here with us.
The hot sheets, yeah.
Weekly World News, still around.
So, that's probably a good place to start. Before we get into your background, before we get into what's happening in the future, let's kind of come at this from the perspective of the audience. The audience, we already know that we've got a lot of fans of the Weekly World News, and you know, it was, you know, growing up in the 80s or the 90s, and you're, you know, in line at the grocery store with mom, and there's the tabloid section, as it were. And Weekly World News was always in there. And then around 2007, it stopped publishing. So give us a little bit of what happened, where it's been, and then, you know, kind of future plans.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll go back to the where it started. It started in 1979. We're coming up on 42 years. October 16th, 1979 was the first issue.
79 was a very good year, I got to tell you.
Oh, yeah. It was a very good year.
This year I came on the earth, so you know it's a special year.
Yeah. Well, that's when we started then. Yeah. We knew you were coming.
That's right.
It was an offshoot of National Enquirer. It was part of the American Media Inc. National Enquirer started in 1952, and in 1979, they went to color presses. So they had these black and white presses left over. And they said, let's not just chuck them, let's do something with them. And they had this idea. They had been collecting these, you know, bizarre but true stories, you know, about like a 25-pound turtle or, you know, a 10-foot-tall tree man or something. You know, like crazy stories or a big oversized grasshopper. So they had collected them while they started putting them in there into this paper. It took off right away. I think it sold 150,000 the first issue. It kind of took off and it went with the kind of weird but true stories. And then in the 80s, mid-80s, we went into Elvis is Alive. There was a story about Elvis is Alive, which was based on sightings of Elvis that some people saw in Kalamazoo, Michigan. So, you know, kind of just took it out a little bit. And Elvis is Alive, and we had a whole bunch of stories about that.
Eating jelly donuts. Come on now.
And by the way, Elvis is still alive. People are so worried. He's still out there. We've had stories of him dying and he's coming back, but believe me, he's still out there. He's very old now. I think he's 86, but he's out there.
Well, it's like the we've talked a lot on this show about Hitler not actually dying in the bunker.
Oh yeah, and
it's like right. what you point out to people. It's like, well, even if that's true, he very likely died of old age by now.
yeah, exactly. Unless he was injected with something.
That's true, or became a cyborg. I mean, there are a lot of possibilities.
It's like a part robot or something. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then then following along, 1992, we introduced our iconic character, Batboy.
Which at our studio proper, we have the Batboy statue there. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
There he is.
Yeah, there he is. Yeah. Batboy, that just like caught the nation got involved in
transfixed the nation.
And the adventures of Batboy over the years.
Was that the moment that you kind of embraced being satire? Like when you put out a press release now, it says the word satire on it.
Yeah.
That wasn't true when it started. Like, when did that tipping point happen?
Yeah, I would say that right about there in the 90s, early it started, but we never had it labeled satire until recently.
Okay, got it.
Oh, because we are the world's only reliable news. Everything we're right is 100% true. But the thing is, now there's all this legal stuff. If you say something about this, and now there's all legal, you got to be careful. Like we were a news media company, which we still are up until maybe a couple of years ago. Now we're a news media company, but we're also.
When you start leaking Clinton's plans with the aliens, they get a little litigious on you. I understand. It makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. They start, when we had aliens, one alien, Pilot, our alien, was photographed with every president since Reagan, by the way. And we've had it in the paper, and Clinton held it up, and Bush won, held up the paper. But, Obama, Trump, they've all been with Pilot. Yeah, and Pilot's lover was Hillary, of course, and then they had a baby together.
Well, there was a lot of Clinton alien sex and sexual triangles and whatnot. Correct? Yeah.
Well, as a little Weekly World News nod, I got the chance a year or so ago to record at Sun Studio in Memphis, and for the cover photo, we took the famous picture of Elvis at the piano with Johnny and them, and I put Pilot in staying there with them with our show.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, Pilot's a great character. Still out there, and when Hillary had a baby a couple years ago, Chelsea Clinton on her birthday tweeted out something like, "And a happy birthday to my sister." And she put the picture of the alien baby. So, there's always been like a good attitude of sense of playfulness and fun, even though, of course, this is all true. And, we've been proven true on a lot of this alien UFO stuff because we've written a lot about it. And lo and behold, now in the last year,
a lot of stuff coming out.
That's come true, And I was just looking at one of our old issues the other day from the 90s also, and there was an article about a virus it created in a Chinese lab. For real, this was an article.
No way.
got released into the world.
You're going the way of the Simpsons predicting everything.
We're predicting everything.
Batboy's been on The Simpsons, so it's like it's circular.
Oh yeah, yeah. in the 90s, Batboy was everywhere, and Weekly World News too. We were in a lot of movies, TV shows.
One of the things that you talked about too was when you guys started, you had the leftover black and white printing presses, and you wanted to do something with it. I think that really led a lot of the "Ooh, what is this" to me as a kid, because it stood out as something different, and so when you were in the line at the grocery store or something like that, that's the one that jumped out because it wasn't color to me, and it made it fun, and that's where I always remember seeing it and begging my mom, let me get this, was when we're checking out at, insert whatever grocery store. And I think that's the experience that a lot of people, that was their first experience to Weekly World News.
Yeah, we get that a lot. I mean, particularly because we're out in Hollywood a lot, pitching different things. And everyone that we come across, actors and producing them, they'd have the same story. Like they would, you know, they begged their parents to get Weekly World News, and they would read it or act it out in front of their friends. And you know, they love the imagination and the possibilities of what's out there, you know, in this world, but also in outer space. We have a lot of things about planets and asteroids, and is the world flat or is it round or what is it?
Well, we've talked about that plenty on the show. We've right. had some flat earthers on at one time who actually believed it. But let's get back. So, Greg, the publication's been around since 1979. We all know the publication. We all love the publication. Stopped printing in 2007. That's the kind of timeline. Where did you start with the company, and how has your part evolved?
Okay, I probably started right around 1999, 2000. I had started submitting I met somebody who had known somebody at Weekly World News, and I was in LA as a writer, screenwriter, comedy writer, and they said, hey, you know, that's your sensibility. So I submitted some articles, and I started writing. They accepted, and they started publishing a bunch of articles from that 2000-2007 period. And then when it was sold, American Media Inc. sold it to this investor group in New York. Then it went fully online, and I wrote a lot for that. So in total, I've written probably over 5,000 articles.
Wow.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a lot. That's why, you know, I'm kind of like the editor-in-chief and CEO right now.
Well, that's that, which actually you put the ball on the tee for me, because that's what I wanted to ask about. Having seen your background as a writer and an editor there before you took over as CEO and editor-in-chief, you had to come up with a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
Where did you draw from for your inspiration? Because, you know, the cool part is the Weekly World News operates in the same land that we do, the world of the weird. The difference is most of the stories we go exploring are purported to be true, right? From the get-go, the experiencer or the person who saw Bigfoot or whatever the case may be says it happened, as outlandish as it might or might not seem. But that's also, if you were coming up, if you're writing an episode of The X-Files or you're writing an edition of the Weekly World News, you would need similar inspiration. So right. I'd love to hear more about where you draw yours from.
Well, you know, well, some of it is just clearly how my brain works, which is true. Like my brain is like well suited to this, like, you know, thinking in this direction. But I like many people, was inspired by the Weekly World News, you know, just reading it as a kid, and it just would get me thinking about all sorts of things and about the world as it is, about these cryptids. You know, there's all these mythological beasts in all these, every state in the union, and I was always a little bit interested in, like, you know, this Jersey Devil, Mothman. Everywhere you go, there's always this thing, and they're like, are they out there? So there is something about, like, me thinking about truth, what is real, what is not true. So I have, like, that kind of brain, too, thinking about what. But I'm inspired by, you know, comedy. I was always, like, a broad kind of broader kind of comedy. So that, Weekly World News, you know, films, comedy films that I've watched. I mean, I liked early Woody Allen stuff. I like sci-fi movies. I like, you know, so I don't know. It's just pretty much my whole life things.
I love it. And I I'm sure you're responsible for a big portion of what I'm about to reference, but I've always enjoyed the tone of Weekly World News. Like, it's kind of it's like, we're just reporting the facts, but it's also tongue firmly planted in cheek, but because it's so factual.
Right.
Like, I don't know exactly how to describe.
Like, you almost feel smart when you're in on the joke. Yeah, and the people that don't get it, you're like, you know, this is above you somehow, almost.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great way to put it.
Some people lately, in the last couple of years, have compared, when I talk about something as a kayfabe, what is it, in wrestling, kayfabe? Or
yeah, kayfabe. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
so it's just, I mean, we're always, you know, like I said, 100% true. Everything we write. So yeah. We're just serious. We never wink at the audience or anything.
Yeah.
This is it. We take our journalism seriously, and we put it out there, and then the people will decide. You know?
Well, that's the unfortunate part about this post-truth world that we live in, because because there are so many people out there defending to the hilt things that are so unambiguously false, the ability to have levity in like your type of journalism has grown infinitely more difficult, I have to imagine.
Oh, yes. You know, and, you know, we know we don't also don't use the we call it the F word, which is fake, you know, fake news. You know, right. So but you know, if you want to use that word, some people say that we were like one of the first purveyors of that kind of news. But it was different. Like now that term has become deceive people. You want to deceive people. Right. Mm-hmm. We were like, you know, entertaining and informing a little bit, you know. Now it's like deceiving. So it's sort of like the world is kind of coming back or wants to go back to a more playful time, you know?
Yes.
Where this kind of news was you know, fun and playful and not harmful. No one's trying to like manipulate you or.
Exactly. Why? Republicans and Democrats alike can laugh at the Weekly World News.
Right.
Republican and Democratic presidents all posed with the same alien.
Right.
You know, it has nothing to do with political affiliation. Nobody has an ulterior motive in the quote unquote fakeness. There is no motive other than to entertain. And that's what I love about it. And that's what I hate about misinformation and the real fake news out there.
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of fully in the side of Bat Boy for president. So, you know, not to get too political here.
That way. Yeah, we did run Bat Boy for president. And he was just, you know, got a lot of votes for the recall election.
You know, I was really happy when you guys did your Kickstarter. You were doing the Greatest Covers edition. We actually had a half page ad for our show your Best Covers. That.
Yeah, you're right across from Kim Kardashian's
right butt. Next to Kim Kardashian's butt. Yep. I also loved it said on there, I think it said Jay-Z down to three problems.
Yeah, exactly.
So speaking of ads, you know, I remember, okay, I don't have any physical copies in front of me, but if I remember correctly, my years of buying the Weekly World News, the advertisers were a lot of direct-to-consumer brands.
Yes.
And that was back then, that was a less common thing, which it's funny now, you fast forward 20 years and like listen to every podcast has a bunch of direct-to-consumer advertisers. This episode has a direct-to-consumer advertiser on it. Oh. And that's kind of become the norm. Like everybody's doing direct-to-consumer. But back then that's always been the great thing about direct to consumer advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what the content is, as long as the advertising works. Has that been always been an uphill battle at a publication like Weekly World News to get more standardized, like brand awareness type advertisers involved, as opposed to those direct to consumer folks?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, advertising's just been, you know, a challenge, especially in the last, you know, 7 years, just trying to do the online ads and everything.
Sure.
So we are going back to print. We're working that whole thing out. And that's something that we're looking at too, how to get those brand names in it too. But
yeah,
direct to consumer, yeah, that worked, you know.
That was one of the classic direct to consumer advertisers from when we were kids in periodicals was, you know, the Columbia House Records.
Yes.
And you know, get BMG, get 8 CDs or 8 records or whatever for a dollar.
Don't you still owe them a few $1,000, John? Something like that.
I think my name is on a list somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, and then people in college would you know, order like 5 different names, get 5 different free.
Like, yep.
Their aunt, their uncle, their cousin.
Yeah, get that in there and then pay for more. I don't know.
Well, you were talking about going back to print. One of the things you guys talked about too is coming up maybe with podcasts, television, you know,
yes,
movies. What do you guys have in store? What's the future hold, so to speak?
Okay, so yeah, like so starting in, it was sold in 2007, and then 2010 we started, you know, we wanted to get to more people and get the brand out to more people in the younger generation too. So, and there had been a musical, Bat Boy the Musical. I don't know if you know about that. Started in 1999.
I did not.
Yeah, it's Bat Boy the Musical, 1999. The actor Tim Robbins, he had a
actor
tag in L.A. And they hired the two guys that composed and wrote the book for a musical called Heathers.
So, oh, wow. Sure. Yeah.
So they got signed on. They wrote Bat Boy the Musical. We gave them license and wrote it. And
that's great. I love it.
Premiered in 1999 at Kirk Douglas Theater in Culver City, California, LA there. And it did really well. And then it went, you know, it played a few more places. And it opened in Off-Broadway September 2001 at the end of the
week.
So it was a terrible time. So
yeah,
it closed. But then it became very popular in high schools and colleges. And it for like, I don't know, 15 years. Many colleges, many high schools, community theaters did that for the musical. So a lot of people know it from there. I mean, including like Harvard, Yale, Ohio State, you know, Florida State.
Wow.
All these colleges have done Bat Boy the Musical. So, and it's starting up again now, so people will be doing it. So like a lot of people know of it from there.
And then, so given that project, now you're talking about other spinoff projects in, like Brent was asking.
Yeah. So now we're focusing, because we have 115,000 articles about in our vault. And then we have 300 characters. You know, Bat Boy is the main one, but there's a whole bunch of them. Manigator is very popular. PHDA, P-Lot, Hogzilla, Lake Erie Monster, the whole host of them. So people have always said, hey, really, it's like a mini Marvel. You know, we have all these characters, and it'd be good to get them out. And they lend themselves to TV, film, animation, podcast. So we signed a deal, and we were represented by CAA in 2010 and signed this deal. And immediately Steven Spielberg's company, Amblin Entertainment, wanted to do a TV show about world news. So it was set in a newsroom, the Weekly World News newsroom, and the reporters would go out and report on the different crazy stories every week. And then, but it was really about the people in the newsroom, kind of like 30 Rock or Taxis. And, but that kind of, you know, they went through a whole bunch of writers, and it just never became like a top priority. So when we were waiting for that to really take on, and we basically came up with a show called Waiting for Steven. It was the name of our show. Waiting for Steven. It never happened. So then we're like, you know, but we still have a lot of interest in it. So we're out there pitching right now and have been aggressively going after it. Right now we have a documentary that we're about to sign a little deal for them. It's going to do the history of Weekly World News from 1979 to now. There's a show pitching that I wrote with a guy named Adam Rifkin, great writer, director. He did this movie, Detroit Rock City.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're pretty excited about that. We have two big studios that want to do a show, two different shows, and we're out pitching other places. So, you know, in the next couple months, we should have one or two announcements. And we had a deal with a company for podcasts to have a big, you know, podcast on, you know, iHeart or Audible or anything that was backed by this company. But that's taken a while too. Anyway, you
know, hurry up and wait is the
There's a lot of waiting in there. Yep. That's why we recently formed Weekly World News Studios. So while we wait for all that Hollywood stuff to happen, which we know it's going to happen. We're going to produce our own stuff.
Yeah.
Get your own content.
Raise money. We have our first movie called Zombie Wedding that we're well into, you know, pre-production, getting that going. And then we have two or three behind it.
I could totally see it turning into some like a Tromaville almost with your own characters and stuff. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, because this way we can control our own destiny and get the brand out there like we want to. So it'll be sort of like a National Lampoon. Weekly World News presents, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was National Lampoon. I love that. And I, you know, the idea of a podcast slate, not just one show, but a slate makes so much sense because you've got so much core material that can be riffed on.
We want to expand it out. One doesn't have to just only be about our characters. We want to expand it out and have like maybe a group of podcasts, like five or six.
Yeah. Absolutely. You should probably do an investigative series and I mean, there's all kinds of true crime episodes. There's all kinds of avenues you could get.
The people have had Bigfoot, a hunt for Manigator, a hunt for anything.
Well, if you ever need a hunt for a conspiracy bot, we know a guy.
No.
So we can.
Oh, conspiracy would be great. Yeah. You got still got that conspiracy bot too.
That's nope. Right. That's easy.
That's the guy. Yep. That's the guy.
Okay, yeah. Well, Greg, I'm gonna put you on the spot. It's kind of like to pick your favorite kid, but if you had to pick your favorite story or character or topic that you guys have talked about, do you have one?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've mentioned a couple times already because I've always been drawn to Manigan.
Yeah,
so half man, half alligator. And the story was, in a Louisiana swamp, these guys were fishing down in the swamp, and they caught this thing, and it pulled up this half man, half alligator. When he was bleeding and he was hurt, and they went and they kind of saved him, wrapped him up, brought him in, called in some help, and since they helped him, he started talking a little bit, and he kind of has like a Bill Murray kind of vibe to him. Like somebody, they gave him some beer and everything. And he talked about how these geneticists had come up with this. That's how he was born. They were experimenting with people and alligators, and they got this, and they had created about 250 eggs, manigator eggs. Like these. So he told them where the eggs were, So they called the FBI and see, and they destroyed all the eggs. And then he got away, but they didn't destroy all the eggs. So there's still a lot of manigators out there. But I like his vibe. He's kind of surly, fun guy. So I'm always prone to manigator.
That's awesome.
But we give the character list to a lot of people. We've had different people take different takes. We had somebody at Wes Anderson's company who had looked at our list, and you would think everyone says, oh, let's do something about Bat Boy or PhD Ape or Hogzilla or something. And then the one he was interested in was the Unicycle Gang, which is this vicious gang in LA that rides on these so he was drawn to that. So I don't know. There's a lot
that screams Wes Anderson to me.
I also like I had written a story late at night one time about I literally was writing sometimes three or four a day on the web. We had a really good run on the web for a while. And I was reading about these jetpacks this company in Australia was thinking about making. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's it. So I wrote this article about L.A. was going to be formed this L.A. jetpack officer force,
Oh, I remember this.
Yeah. So So I wrote that. I put it up at 3 a.m. and then at 6:30 or 7, Fox and Friends, Brian Kilmeade read my article. He read it as fact. And I had said $10,000 each jetpack. They ordered 10,000, which is $1 billion. So it's like, and it was ridiculous. He read the whole thing as announcing. And I had named this company. I used this company and they hadn't even finished their prototype, so that's how you get the idea. But then a couple hours later, CNN made fun of Fox. And then later on, MSNBC caught on and made fun of Fox. And then CNN did a special on it that night. And then it was on Letterman's Top 10.
That's great.
All within 24 hours. So I always liked the idea. And again, in the last year, you can read about these articles. There's been this guy flying a jetpack around LAX airport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So people are like, wow, look, you guys are ahead with the jetpacks. Maybe they are forming the jetpack officer.
You damn force. Cops in the sky.
Sky police. In my jetpack, I'm flying high above the law. I'm just like Superman, powered by great big fans. I'll kill you all. I'm Sky Police.
Yep.
Yeah, the cops. You get flying cops. But, this could be a prediction, too. This could be happening. Who knows?
You're right. You're absolutely right.
So, Greg, you mentioned that you're working on bringing a print edition back. Is that in the near term, or are you still working out the details there?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's always in the very near term, but we're working out the details, because it's like we have everything we need in terms of the articles. We have a good team now. We have the artwork, and we have ads we can get. It's just a matter of distribution, as you guys know. So we're trying to figure that line out. We want it back in the supermarkets and back in the pharmacy. So that's where we want it. You know, we're talking to different distributors. Once we get that figured out, like the printing of it's fine. Some people think it's crazy, but it's, I look at it like LPs. Some people like buying albums, right? And LPs now, but you're still online. So we'll still be online, but people do like to hold this in their hand.
Every time I do. I do.
You know, there's something about holding it and opening up. So I'm trying to bring it back to the way it was in the beginning, early, the 90s, and early 2000s in terms of the tone of it and also being in print, you know, but keeping digital and expanding to new audiences.
Yeah. Well, I think there's room for all types of media that are niche. Like, if you said I'm going to start the next Time magazine and do it all in print, and you know the world has evolved and the world has moved on, like that's not as necessary. However, boy, that, you know, selling comic books is still a good thing to do, you know. There are still things, like you mentioned LPs, that's another great example. There are still things that are old guard media that still work, and I think kitschy is part of it, you know, right? Like Weekly World News is kitschy. Or fun or different, you know? So I'm behind it. I love it. And I'm excited to see everything that you guys will bring to bear over the next few years.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
there's a lot to do, but you know, we're at it, and I'm like, I've just been crazed about it because I just believe in it so much.
Yeah.
Well, if you ever need podcast correspondence, let us know. You know, the slug line for this podcast, if you aren't aware, is the truth is out there, but you won't find it here.
I mean, might be able to get you. We could always use investigative reporters because we already got.
Well, that's.
We got the mic.
Heck yeah.
Mike Flag.
There you go.
Yes. Mike Flag. You go. Yes. Well, let us know. We also know a couple robots that would probably help. They'd probably screw it up more than they help. But
you guys do any street interviews? We've had a couple good street interviewers, you know, field reporters.
That's awesome.
Yeah. One's named Lester Kane, and he's been pretty good.
Like I started the interview with, you know, I kind of think this show is in part a nod or a at least part of the same ethos as the Weekly World News was started in, and we definitely see it and see you as a kindred spirit.
Yeah, you guys follow some conspiracy theories too. Right?
We love talking about them.
This is the big conspiracy, is that, you know, people believe that what happened is, like, the Weekly World News, we write our articles, we put them out there, and then some people just think, oh, it's just silly, it's nothing's true, and just like it's a joke, right? But actually the government is wants to get it out there. They know the story is true, so they put it through the Weekly World News.
That slow trickle.
They put out it, it's like disinformation, right? So now it's like, oh, well, that's now fake. But really, it's true. They know that it's true, right?
Yeah.
So basically, you are their
conspiracy. We're like,
the only
you're
real
their
news
tool of disclosure, so that no one believes what is disclosed.
Exactly. but we are on to them now. So now we have to get back to that. You know, now we're going to expose them doing that, and then it gets to be this like global media, government media
conspiracy. That's awesome. Well, Greg, if everyone wants to find the truth, what's the best place for them to find it? Where do you want people to go?
Oh, well, you know, we have a really good following on Facebook at Weekly World News. It keeps growing. I think there's 145,000 now. We're just, you know, we just relaunched in 2019. We have weeklyworldnews.com. It's our site. You know, just getting it going on Instagram. There's a Twitter, YouTube. We just started Weekly World News Universe. So I would say, you know, go to Facebook first and the site, and you'll get everything you need. We have a good merch store. We have a lot of people buying Bat Boy stuff.
That's where I got my Bat Boy statue.
Yeah, yeah. We just have Bat Boy bobbleheads, too. So we'll send you guys something. I get you some shirts. We have a good group, a creepy company. I don't know if you know them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they got a bunch of our stuff, and
that's awesome.
We got more things coming up with them, and it's just a lot to do. I mean, there's a lot of fans out there that we need to uncover, and a newer generation too. It's funny though, because on Facebook right now, our demographic is 25 to 44. 68% is 25 to 44.
Wow.
About 60, which people would think, oh, there'd be a lot of older, but not really.
And that's awesome. So, yeah.
Yeah. You think about it, like when it stopped, when you stopped printing in 2007.
Yes.
Yeah. So you, like a lot of the your current demographic wasn't even reading yet.
Right.
Yeah. That's compelling. That's interesting.
Yeah. And most people, you know, I don't know how you guys feel, but like most people look on their phones, like websites. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I think we have 80% of people look at the website on their phone.
Yeah, sure.
Interesting, you know. And by the way, also our demographic is like 65% men right now. So yeah. I'd like to expand that out too.
Get some women reading as well. Well, certainly all the female members of Hysteria Nation, along with the male members and everybody else, I'm sure will love to go to weeklyworldnews.com and check out everything that you all are putting out. Greg, really appreciate you being here today and look forward to seeing what comes next.
Okay, really appreciate you guys. We've got to stay in touch because we could use some field reporters.
Absolutely. We'd love to be a part of it. Absolutely. And we'll get the bots on it too.
Well, Greg, thank you so much for joining us. And Nation, we will be back after this quick timeout.
Thank you so much.
After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
I tell you what, he might not know what he's saying when he's like, oh yeah, we could use you guys as reporters because I'm ready to be the man of the field. As long as I get a Weekly World News flag on my microphone, I'm ready.
I'm glad we didn't have the discussion about how much they'd have to pay. Because I feel like...
I don't have to pay him? Oh, that's even better. Yeah,
exactly. I'm in.
This is Brent Hannon and Manny Gator on the scene.
I mean, it's so true though, man. Like the Weekly World News shaped all of us in a weird way. Listen, I'm not trying to be too existential about it, or like, of course we're not shaped as human beings by what we read in line at the supermarket. But when you go and you say Bat Boy, are there many people that grew up around the 80s, 90s, or 2000s that don't know what you're talking about?
Even if you don't know one specific character too. You know, the black and white tabloid.
Yeah.
That was the alien on the cover, or the Bigfoot, you know.
Or the or Elvis, as he referenced.
Yeah.
And we talked
jelly
about
donuts or whatever the hell he's doing, you know. They were it was just a huge linchpin in our cultural zeitgeist of a time. And I think, and he kind of had a point there that I thought was interesting too. He's like, you know, or I think you even maybe you brought it up. Vinyl's back, tapes coming back, things come back. And I think print media really hasn't left. Magazines and some of those might not have been as well, but I think it is a good time. And it's a whole new genre of people, so to speak, you know, all these new people to be exposed to, or people that are remembering that and want a taste of it again.
I think nostalgia is a big part of it, like you said.
It's a hell of a drug.
I also think that, like, keepsakes. So a utilitarian publication like Time Magazine, I used as an example, but, you know, Reader's Digest or utilitarian. What I mean by that is you utilize it and then you throw it away. It gives you good information. It serves its purpose. Then you throw it away. Like, that is probably never going to be a huge thing again in print. It just won't be, because you have it on your phone and you have it immediately. You don't have to wait till the next day, and it doesn't cost as much or anything. And it's available to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. However, there are collector's items galore out there that people actually want to hold on to. And there's also nostalgia of how it used to be. And that's why LPs have made it. There was a moment recently I saw on the news somewhere a snippet, and I apologize if I get this wrong, but basically during a certain time period, LPs for the first time since like 1989 outsold CDs.
Wow.
because they're printing them again, you know, pretty vigorously, and mm-hmm. CDs are, you know, going out of style because they're, again, utilitarian. You don't need it. You have Spotify. But like Weekly World News, once you're done with that month's edition, that week's edition, you'd hold on to it. It's kind of cool. It's kind of kitschy. It's like you put it on the dinner table.
Well, especially the Best of Covers edition with yours truly and you inside of it. So that just makes
sense.
That's
true. That is true. They have some good advertisers. I was trying to get it. Like I don't know why maybe it's just because I work in advertising, but I've always remember Weekly World News just having all of these, I don't know how you describe it, esoteric advertisers that you would never see a McDonald's ad in a Weekly World News.
No, but you might see Time Life Mysteries of the Unknown books.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And all these other direct-to-consumer, like, you know, direct-to-consumer, you think about all the advertisers you hear on podcasts today, that's the world today. And that's how, like, everybody's direct-to-consumer, because it's easier to reach people through the internet, and it's easy to drop ship, and it's cheaper to drop ship. But back in the day, there were very specific direct-to-consumer brands. There were the clubs, so like the CD clubs that we referenced. And then there were also like the buy this Sacagawea gold coin. You know, it's a $1 coin for $10. And, you know, that was a lot of direct-to-consumer stuff.
And they were all in Pueblo, Colorado, I remember.
Yes, yes.
A lot
yes.
of them.
this commemorative plate with a bald eagle on it and, you know, a tank. And yeah, like commemorative.
I didn't know Susan B. Anthony had a 45. That's awesome. She's a badass.
Like, my grandparents had commemorative plates that they like were on the wall. They didn't have tanks on them, but like,
right.
like that was a thing back in the day. All that stuff was sold in the pages of the Weekly World News. And I was trying to go down that path, but I think I'm more interested in the advertising than the average bear.
Why? I don't understand, John. What do you have to do with advertising?
Brent, what would you be most interested in seeing from a, like, a spinoff media perspective, a movie of,
I think that if they could do a, when he started talking about his movies, I'd love to see a universe, like a shared universe, kind of like what I said with like Tromaville,
yeah.
Where if they do a Batboy movie, then they do a Manny Gator movie. I want there to be Batboy nods in it, or crossover characters, like the news people, things like that. I would love it to be something like that, a shared universe that's also very tongue-in-cheek satire and fun. I think that would be a lot of fun. And I think that there is, do it in a smart B-movie style, and I think it could be a hit.
That would be awesome. And I like what you said there. let me say smart B movie style, because there's a good way to do it and not a good way to do it, you know. And
I mean, I'm really good at the not good way to do most things, so just do what I wouldn't do and you'll probably be all right.
Hey, exactly. So I think mine, I would love a series of podcasts from them, and much like the way their articles are written, do them with like journalistic integrity around the history of Bat Boy, around an investigation into which of these Dunkin' Donuts Elvis is actually working at this month. You know, just crazy, insane shit, but taken
deep dives,
and taken super seriously. Kind of like what you were saying during the interview, Brent, how you're either in on the joke or you're not. You're producing this audio with no wink. Here is what we are presenting. We are presenting to you a 10-part series on the background of Bat Boy.
Yeah.
And it never says this is satire. And I would love something like that. Hell, hey, anyone from Weekly World News, including Greg, if you're listening to this episode, call us back. Let's do it. Like, Hysteria 51 will help.
Yes. I know a guy who knows a guy.
I know a robot.
Yeah, it was fun.
Fuck you guys. I was sleeping. Plus, Bat Boy still owes me for a case of butt booze.
Yeah, thank God, right?
I mean, it is kind of late in the show.
Yeah, it is. It is. Tell us what your guys' favorite articles or characters, if you want to call them that. What do you remember from Weekly World News? How can they tell us, John?
They can go to our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just go to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation. That's where we talk about all this kind of stuff and a whole lot more. I mean, are we forgetting other black and white tabloids that we should be talking about? Where did you used to get your Weekly World News? What characters were the funniest? Let us know all of that and a whole lot more. Go to Facebook.com and search Hysteria Nation.
That's right. Also, Patreon, patreon.com/hysteria51. You can find Radio Dramas, Up All Nights, Man Blurry, Hysterias. I just started. I set up like the next 8 months of Friday Pick of the Week. Fun picks I haven't posted anywhere else of you and I doing the show, background photos. This was the first one last week with Kevin, and some people were talking about the books and things that he's in front of. It was his little promo picture or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. You could just almost see the tears in his eyes as he's sitting there. voicemail 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. And if they forget any of this, Hysteria51.com. And if you want to find any of the Weekly World News links, you can find those, like they said, at weeklyworldnews.com, or just hop in the show notes. We're going to have links from down there. So, yeah, I think that's the important takeaway is Manny Gator, Bat Boy. It's all real. And that is what you need to think about as you go to sleep tonight.
Well, I think not only is it all real, but it is all coming back. And that's exciting.
Yes.
I'll end with this. In all seriousness, it is sad that they have lost the ability to look you dead in the eye and not wink, but know that we're all internally winking because there are so many folks out there with ulterior motives posting actual fake news. It makes me sad for that type of writing, because I love that style of writing.
I was saying, I don't feel that this was ever, could even be called fake news, because that's not what it was ever trying to be. That's not
the
goal.
That wasn't the purpose. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
All right, kids. That's been our thoughts. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Brad.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.